Some have called showrunner and novelist Simon Rich one of the funniest writers in America right now, and he has a new television show that just aired on TBS called Miracle Workers. Guys, it's starring Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, and Steve Buscemi. We've got all these A-list movie stars coming to television, and we are reviewing the pilot right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like I owe our listeners an apology, especially our British listeners, for just butchering their accents.
Yeah, that was funny.
And Linda, you're a member of the Commonwealth, so
I am.
You're closer to London than I'm close to London.
Absolutely.
Did you guys know Linda's Canadian?
I think they did.
I feel like I sneak it in every week.
Every week or so.
Every week or so. Yeah. That is the voice of Linda Antwi, guys, and my name is Jeff Graham. We are your TV pilot review crew. And yes, we are here every week, guys, reviewing pilots. To be clear, we're not an after show. We are a TV pilot review show. And I am with the unparalleled and brilliant Linda Antwi.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We're so happy to have you.
As I mentioned at the top, guys, we're covering TBS's new quirky show, Miracle Workers. It's kind of a workplace comedy as if the workplace were set in heaven and the CEO were God.
That is correct.
It's kind of a good description, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a very accurate description.
We will be watching a trailer for the show in just a minute. But before we do, Linda got me all excited because like 30 seconds before we went live, she told me that we have some Twitter fans.
Yeah, we have a super fan. Andrew, I wanted to shout him out. Andrew Gekski, he is a writer. He stumbled across our show last week. And what was interesting about our Twitter exchange was in the beginning, I think he was a little upset with me not liking the PF 15, whatever it's called, the one I hated last week.
The one that spelled just like penis.
Yes. But we ended up like going back and forth, and he actually gave me a really, really good suggestion that I think we should probably try. He told me to watch a show, and I am losing the name of it right now, but I will pull it up in a moment. But he's basically saying it's like The Detour.
Oh, yeah, on TBS, yeah, right? It's Samantha Bee's husband, Jason Jones.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
And then we had the EP jump in from that show, Brennan Schnarf.
Brenner Schnarf.
Yes, from that show.
Cool.
Jump in and say, yeah, you definitely have to watch The Detour. So
okay.
I'm being open-minded, and thank you for tuning in, Andrew.
I've heard really, really good things about The Detour. I think that pilot dropped before this show existed, so it kind of did fly off my radar. But I will say, TBS has great comedies. I love Angie Tribeca, The Last OG, which we covered,
yes.
Tracy Morgan, and Tiff Had in their prime. Tiffany Haddish is who I'm referring to, and I say Tiff Had. I love a good nickname, you guys. People are already annoyed by me. Let's get into our coverage. Before we discuss Miracle Workers, which is another TBS comedy, we are going to watch the trailer right now.
God, I know it's been a rough few thousand years, but you've still got a lot of fans down there.
Do you know how long it's been since someone sacrificed a ram to me?
I thought that grossed you out.
You know, it did, but at the same time, there was something nice about it.
So what's your job, Craig?
I'm not surprised.
Seems like there's a lot of problems down on Earth.
Polar ice caps are melting at a historic rate.
Love the production design.
Hoochie mama.
I am transferring you to the Department of Answered Prayers.
Ooh.
I'm Eliza.
I'm Craig. Welcome to Answered Prayers. You have arrived just in time.
Earnest trailer.
2 billion prayers received.
We have to answer all those prayers?
I generally try and shoot for four a day. Although, now that I've got you, a teammate, there's no telling what we can do. I'm thinking 5, 6, maybe as many as 6. Anyway, big day ahead of us. Here's to the team.
Cheers.
Oh!
Please, God, we need your help. Earth is in big trouble. It is a mess.
We need a miracle.
There's got to be something we can do.
We have something bigger to discuss. My next thing.
Is it a new planet?
This here is a restaurant.
What? Let
me ask you, this is fascinating.
The game begins.
Let's do this.
Sorry, did you just put those glasses on just so you could take them off?
I think I'm watching a Sundance trailer.
I got a
feeling a lot of things are going to change around here.
So I've decided to blow up Earth.
Interesting. Good trailer, but not really representative of the show for me.
Really?
What do you think?
I think they took a few of the good highlights. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it.
It just feels like I got a sort of different tone from the pilot than I did from this trailer. Not that it's bad. I think this is a very marketable trailer. I think this is a very audience-friendly trailer, which is the goal when you put together marketing materials for your property. So I can see why it is the way it is. But more importantly than the trailer, we got to talk about this show. As I mentioned, Steve Buscemi's playing God as sort of a fratty midlife crisis CEO who's tired of his job. And we're sort of focused on two low-level employees at the company played by Daniel Radcliffe and Geraldine Viswanathan, who are whose job it is to answer prayers. And a bet forms in the pilot that becomes a very high-stakes bet, and it's the job of the two of them to convince God to not do something really bad.
There you go.
Linda, what did you think of this pilot?
I actually liked it. I thought it was well written and and very smart comedy.
I did too. Anything jump out at you in terms of your overall thoughts with the pilot?
I was surprised that I liked it. Because at first I thought it was going to be super cheesy. And it almost had like an old school feeling to it. Like I was watching a show from the early 2000s, but
I agree.
It grew on me.
It kind of did have some, like, a lot of those workplace comedies from the, like, Scrubs, The Office.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of the feel-good quirk of, like, a nice workplace comedy, but with this really bizarre, kind of nihilistic twist, which really excited me. I also really liked this pilot. I kind of feel like this pilot was made for me, though. Simon Rich, who's the creator and showrunner, someone I've really liked for a long time. He's got a lot of funny books. A lot, most of his TV material has actually been adapted from books he's already written. He's kind of a novelist first, but he did write for SNL. Have you seen the show Man Seeking Woman on FXX?
No, but I wrote that. I haven't, but I wrote it down.
I love that show.
And I heard it was a good cult following.
It is. It's a very, like, all of his stuff is very, like, niche-y. I think, like, in some ways, this is maybe the most mainstream thing he's done. But he's really interested in dissecting the nature of human behavior, which is, I know that sounds like such a cliche thing to say, but he's interested in the very specific ways that we interact. And he likes looking at that stuff through a very satirical and broad lens, because it's kind of like he combines sketch with story in a way that I think very few people on TV are doing.
I agree. I mean, I agree with that thought. What I liked about it, and I wrote it down, I think that when we jump into the God character, how he created the God character and how he's playing out in the pilot, I think is interesting.
Well, let's talk about characters real quick for those of you guys watching on our YouTube. We're going to go through our cast list right now. I think two of these actors, I'd be very surprised if you didn't recognize. Let's start with, actually, Linda, you take it away.
Steve Buscemi, who plays God. You know him in Fargo, Reservoir Dogs, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Boardwalk Empire, obviously.
I will always think of him in Fargo.
Big time actor. I was actually surprised, and I have actually a fun fact about Steve. This this role was originally cast for Owen Wilson. They had some creative differences with the creator of the show, so they parted ways. And just this past Thursday at the TCAs, the creator said, "We had different creative visions for the show and we parted ways." And I'm really excited that I got to work with Steve.
Interesting. I wonder if there's a little bit of bad blood between Simon Rich and Owen Wilson.
I mean, that's the cookie cutter answer, right? So it sounds to me like
creative differences. Creative. I feel like in this business, that's never a good thing.
Right.
Okay. So, well, let's keep going.
Yeah. Next, we have Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel, Harry Potter.
And there you go. You know him from Harry Potter. He plays Craig, which he's a low-level, been at his job too long, angel at Heaven, Inc. You also know him from Two Dope Queens, if you guys follow that podcast and show on HBO now.
I love Daniel Radcliffe. It's funny. It's easy for us to put him in a box as being Harry Potter, but he's done a lot of really great stuff. I don't know if you saw the movie Swiss Army Man.
I didn't.
It's a wild movie. He plays a corpse who farts his way to safety.
Awesome.
It sounds like such a mess of a movie, and it is kind of a messy movie, but it's like very, it's Paul Dano too, who just, you know, is killing it with wildlife right now. But I have so much goodwill toward Daniel Radcliffe, which I want to talk about in a little bit, but we have some other characters to discuss.
Next, we have Geraldine Viswanathan. She plays Eliza, another low-level angel at Heaven, Inc. You know her from Blockers, from Emo the Musical, and the hit at Sundance recently, Holla.
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 And who's left?
And last but certainly not least, and this is like first build, is Karan Soni. You know him as Sanjay. He plays the right-hand man to God. Mm-hmm. You know him from Deadpool, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Show we covered the pilot, Bobcat Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters.
And, oh, yeah, we covered that.
We did.
I forgot. Mm-hmm. Interesting show. I would say that this character is to Dwight Schrute what Michael Scott is. I'm saying this wrong, but he's sort of the Dwight Schrute to God is Michael Scott. Do you guys know what I'm trying to say?
I don't.
Did you watch The Office?
Okay, yep.
So Dwight to Michael is this character to God.
To God, yep.
That's how I was supposed to say
that. That is exactly
how
he's
the assistant to the regional manager of Heaven, Inc.
Of Heaven, Inc.
So you're liking this show, it sounds like.
I am. I think it's very smart.
I think what I'm really enjoying is watching Daniel Radcliffe. And it's funny, it's so easy for us to put any of these actors who have just played inescapably iconic characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I would argue that Harry Potter is one of the most influential and pervasive fictional characters of the last 30, 40 years.
Big statement.
It's hard to argue, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
It's hard, like, in terms of iconic faces, iconic universes. I mean, to me, he's up there with, like, Darth Vader in terms of, you know, iconicness. I think it'd be really hard for actors to escape that.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing a really nice job in this show.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like he somehow is playing down his character. And even though you might want to pigeonhole him as this the Harry Potter, you really do see him as the low level, like, I'm done, I've chucked out type of character.
For sure. He's playing neurotic really well, which I'm appreciating. I just think it can be really hard for iconic character actors to gracefully exit out of their role and embrace new career opportunities. I think he's done it beautifully. One thing I love about Daniel Radcliffe is when people ask him about Harry Potter, he's enormously grateful for it.
Yep.
He talks about it as being the 10 best years of his life.
Yep.
10 best years of his life. And when people say, are you upset that you might be remembered for this role? He's like, hell no.
No, of course not.
These movies are great, and this was a great character, and I now have the opportunity to do whatever I want.
Whatever he wants.
And I think this was a great choice.
But I also think Steve as well.
Yeah.
He's iconic with Boardwalk Empire as well. And so what I want to say about that is I think that Geraldine, who is the relative unknown, is really holding her own against these two power hitters.
It's a big job.
It's a big job. And in this pilot, I think she nails it.
Yeah.
And she's almost the screen stealer.
I agree with the scene stealer. And what I really liked, and screen stealer, the screen and the scene stealer.
Yes.
The thing I really liked about her performance, too, and this decision to cast a sort of relatively unknown, is that her character on the show is also a relatively unknown.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of green
in
the world of this office. So I think it's easy for us to associate her being the new girl of the cast because she's also the new girl of the show. So I think the show's well cast. I think it's sharply written. I was laughing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's maybe more witty than laugh out loud funny.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Yep.
Because
I think you can be entertained in more than one way, right? So you don't have to always go for the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
Which, you know, I think we spend a lot of time talking about where, you know, it doesn't have to be the easy laugh. I think that you can think that your audience and your viewers are intelligent enough to follow along. So just throw it out there and see if they get it.
Definitely. So we're going to quickly get into spoilers soon, guys. But before we do, we'll let you know kind of if you like this show, you might like this show. I immediately thought of The Good Place on NBC. I think it's similarly cheery. I think it also explores conundrums around religion in a light way, but also kind of a deeply philosophical way. And I think it sort of has a similar look.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah, The Good Place, I put in Man Seeking Woman, The Last OG.
Interesting.
Pen 15, which I hated, but the same idea. The Detour, People of Earth, and God Friended
People
Me,
of
which
Earth.
Which we covered as well.
People of Earth is, oh, God Friended Me, good call. Yeah, I think if you like, this is sort of a PG show. I was surprised by how kind of tame this show was. I think it's a bright, I think if you're easily offended by religion, this might not be the show for you because I think this is a kind of a casual and even satirical look at religion, but I don't think it's necessarily offensive. I just think if you're easily offended, stay away.
You have to be really easily offended to be offended by this show, because I think they do, you know, they stick very close to not crossing any lines. Mm-hmm. They're very middle of the road. I did want to say that it is a limited series. It's an anthology, which I wanted to look up because I wasn't 100% sure what they meant. So it's 7 episodes anthology, meaning that if it does get picked up for a second season, they will and have the option to have different lead actors. Mm. So in the same frame or zone as a Black Mirror or True Detective or American Horror Story, where you still have the same title, but the storyline may be different and the actors may be different.
Huh. Interesting. Well, at this point, guys, we are going to get into our spoiler section. So if you don't want to know anything else, you've gotten our take on the show. I'm going to personally keep watching the show, and I would recommend audiences keep watching the show. So it's a play for me.
I'm also a play. I think that it's like 20 minutes with the commercials. So it's like watching a movie. 7 episodes. I can totally commit to that.
Totally. And before we get into a spoiler section, we want to let you know a little bit more about our network.
Yes. Guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. Please make sure that you are subscribing to our YouTube page. Give us a rating on iTunes. 5 stars really, really does help us out. So 5 stars it is. And if you can, leave us a comment. Jeff and I are very active, as well as all of the other shows. So leave a comment and you'll definitely hear back from us. Thank you for being a part of AfterBuzz TV. It has meant so much to us. And we just love it. We're super fans just like you.
Well said. We love you guys. And let's face it, all of us love TV.
Yep.
Help us out. Send us some love. We'll send you love right back. All right, guys. Time for that siren.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
God might blow up the world.
I just thought, first of all, God in his war, what is it? The robe. Drinking beer, having a midlife crisis. I just loved it. I thought it was hilarious because I think that this is where, and why am I saying the creator's name so bad? Simon. Mm-hmm. I think this is where Simon, for me, caught me right away because he's creating God. So this is going to be a little religious for some of you, but you know, God created us in his image. Mm-hmm. And so in here, and in my mind and how I viewed it, is that he created this God character in our image where we're like
full-heartedly,
self-centered, narcissistic, kind of overwhelmed by all the news that's going on. So overwhelmed that we can't do anything about it. And we kind of just, if you look at it now, we're all kind of tuning out. If we think about all the things that are happening in the world, we're just tuning out. It's too much for us. And I thought, that's genius right there.
Yeah, I was reading that, like, in the novelized version of this, because, again, Simon Rich adapted this from his own material.
Yeah.
He sort of wanted to think of God as, like, George W. Bush a little bit, where, like, even people who really thought George W. Bush was politically idiotic... Mm-hmm. He's always been described as kind of affable and likable. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, people always found themselves kind of like the frat bro you really like to hang out with. If you saw Vice this year, mm-hmm. I think Sam Rockwell sort of is giving us the same kind of energy. So I sort of like Steve Buscemi's performance here because it's kind of like I give zero Fs.
Yep.
And I'm, like, bored of my job, which is a really funny take on God.
Yeah, all of it is. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's funny to hear them kind of describing the dark and nihilistic perils of our world in terms of, like, logistics. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought this was a really funny take on humanity.
Right, which is all part of why I think it's such a smart comedy. Mm-hmm. It's like turning the mirror on ourselves.
Yeah, in particular, I really liked, like, some of these jokes. Like, at the beginning when we see Steve Buscemi looking at this sort of, you know, archetypally religious race car driver guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, praise God, he's given me everything I need.
Praise God.
And they're like, and right after this, his car exploded and he died immediately.
Yes.
That's just such a Simon Rich turn. And I think this show is going to be full of it.
Mm-hmm. Or with the extinct animal. time to go downgrade, and you see like the dodo and the mammoth and the dinosaur. He's about to scratch out the dog, and all of a sudden it pans over to his coworker. I thought that was hilarious.
I think what Simon Rich loves, I loved it too. I think what he, and I really want you to watch Man Seeking Woman. I think you'll love it. Because in a similar way on that show, what Simon Rich does and is really good at is taking these huge concepts that you think would never be able to distill down into something bite-sized, but he'll take something like the existential impossibility of answered prayers and like make it a job, you know, like make it a, and I think The Good Place does this too. What are the logistics behind these huge questions? And Man Seeking Woman, what he's doing is taking the idea of dating and distilling it down to those concepts. So in one episode of that show, this will be a quick tangent, but a boyfriend has to send a text to his girlfriend, and they treat it like the White House Situation Room, where it's like, what's he going to send? What's he going to send? What's he going to send?
Yeah.
No, you can't send that text. It'll ruin the relationship. And I just think he's such a smart and observationally funny writer.
Which is very kind of similar to what is happening here with the bet, right? Because the bet with the love bet is like the worst impossible prayer request. So I think that that's interesting.
I love how God, the stakes are, not only will the world blow up, but you'll have to eat this worm.
Yeah.
It's like so stupid.
But hilarious.
But hilarious. It's like that mix of high and low comedy. Yeah.
So you're going to blow up the world if these two don't get together, or if they do or not. Then she's going to eat a live worm and enjoy it.
And enjoy it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's... And the other thing I really like about Simon Rich and this show is even when things get kind of dark or heady, it seems like he really loves his characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he has an affection for all of these characters in the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So there are versions of the show that are much darker and kind of more cynical. But I think at the end of the day, all Simon Rich's material is kind of warm.
I mean, that's what I'm getting from the pilot. I am not too familiar with his other work, and I'll definitely research and watch some of these shows and maybe read a book or two because I love books. But in this pilot, it does feel like he loves all the characters, and they all play an integral role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a ton more to say, because even for those who have seen the pilot or are listening to our spoilers right now, it's really just kind of, I think the experience is just watching and enjoying the show as it's happening in front of you.
Okay. I mean, I can go with that.
Anything else that you really want to, anything else you really strongly reacted to?
Just the way God spoke, like, his, I bet you a hundo, you can't guess what my next thing is, my next big thing besides Earth is. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I bet you a hundo.
Hundo.
Yeah, it's quirky. I like what Steve Buscemi's doing here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we're really liking the show.
I think we are.
We will be adding a new segment to our show, guys, where we kind of go over who we think the target demo for these shows is, who we think TBS is trying to wrangle here. I think they're trying to grab the exact same people they've been trying to grab for the last 3 years, since they've been really kind of leaning into this comedy push.
Okay.
People who like Angie Tribeca, people who like The Detour, people who like The Guest Book, all of these shows. Excuse me. I don't know if you agree with me.
I think so. I don't know enough about TBS, to be honest.
Yeah.
And even when I was looking for the show, and, you know, I'm glad it's on TBS and all of that. But when I was looking for the show, I was having a hard time finding TBS in general.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because they've leaned into these kind of culty comedy shows, and I wonder if it's helped them or not.
I don't know. But this show is hilarious. So it actually brought me to, TBS, I remember that network, if that sounds terrible or not. But
right.
Yeah, I think that they should do more promoting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough because, like, who's promoting now at all?
I mean, someone's promoting because, you know, you hear of these shows. Like, when you recommended this as our next look at, I had no idea. And I like to sometimes go in not knowing so that I can have a fresh take on it. But then I was like, TBS, why? That was my first reaction.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. Like, why are we doing TBS? Like, what do they have? But this comedy, this genre... It's big.
It's what they're leaning into. It's funny, though. I could see this airing on, like, an FXX. They're the ones who air Always Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
They aired Man Seeking Woman, which is maybe why I'm feeling that. But I think TBS would be the second best choice for a show like this, especially with what TBS is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Conan is on TBS right now, and I know he's, like, one of Simon Rich's biggest champions, like Conan would say. And he said on the record that Simon Rich is one of the funniest writers, living in America right
That's
now.
That's a huge statement. I don't know if I agree with all that, but...
It's interesting. People who like Simon Rich bow down to him. Yeah. And I will say, Linda, you should read some of his books because...
I'm going to.
He's one of the few writers that when you're reading him, I think his written material is better than anything he's done on TV. He has the ability to actually make you laugh out loud when you're reading his material.
And I'm hoping that I can pick this up so that I don't sound crazy. I went and did a set visit this week, and I have to tell you that I'm really excited about this Sherman's Showcase on IFC. Mm. And the two writers that, and why I'm bringing this up is because we're hearing that Simon Rich's, or I'm hearing for the first time, is, you know, one of the funniest writers. But this Sally Hudden, I'm saying it totally wrong, and Riddle, who are a writing duo, uh-huh. and they've written for Jimmy Fallon. They used to do Chocolate News. These two are hysterical.
Yeah.
And they have a ton of work underneath them. One's an Emmy and WGA writer.
Nominated.
Nominated. And I find them hilarious. And
when is this pilot coming out?
It's not coming out till June.
Well, we'll definitely cover it when it does.
Yes.
IFC is an interesting reference because that's maybe the last channel I could see this living on. It kind of feels like that hipster sort of cult comedy smart, you know. So those three networks, I feel like, I think TBS ultimately makes sense for this show, though. Do you think people are going to watch it?
I'm not sure. I think that maybe they will. But like, again, we've talked about this a lot. I think that it's crowded, right? So how do you make this stand out from everyone else? I think maybe because you have two heavy hitters, maybe you're going to get the Harry Potter Potterheads.
The Potterheads.
Right. And maybe you're going to get the Boardwalk Empire because where else have we seen Steve recently? So maybe you'll get that, but they're going to be in for a shock because it's not that. It's right. not what they're used to. But if you're a super fan of any actor, really, you'll follow them wherever they go.
It's true. And a lot of people love Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because I don't even know if like people watching the show matters for renewal anymore. I mean, like, obviously it does, but the metrics behind renewals and cancellations, the truth is like, hardly anyone's, the way audiences and ratings compare to what they were 10 years ago is so different anyway.
It's totally different.
That it's like, I think a lot of times networks will renew a new show if it's good,
yep.
even if people aren't watching it. So.
And because, you know, what happens is people catch on later and they're like, oh, let me go and binge that. And now I love it.
Right.
And this is totally not have anything to do with, but it really does if you follow my logic. So there's this documentary on Netflix about, and I can't think of the name of it, but you'll probably know as soon as I keep talking about it, where these parents were terrible and the kid gets abducted twice by the neighbor.
Oh, abducted in person?
Yeah. Oh.
Or abducted out in the open?
Yes. Abducted in plain sight?
Yes.
Yeah. So everyone thinks that that's brand new. It's only brand new because it landed on Netflix. That's been around for 2 years.
Interesting.
So my point is this, like, yeah, I agree with you. I think that what gets renewed and what doesn't get renewed is different metrics now because they're streaming. And so I can go back and watch something and say, hey, I think this is amazing and I'm going to watch it. And lo and behold, I'm 2 seasons in.
Right.
Right. And it's popular now. It might not have been popular during its first run.
Well, that's how The Good Place is, too. And because this has sort of a tonal and thematic similarity to The Good Place, I could see it being beloved. Mm-hmm. Another thing I think is really smart is they're pitching this as a limited series, which I think makes them much more competitive during awards season.
Yep.
That's why, you know, American Horror Story, which I would say is a good show, not a great show, but it gets like 50,000 Emmy nominations every year because it's not competing against as many shows. So I wonder if TBS is trying to lean into the limited series award strategy to try to get some critical praise.
Absolutely, they are.
It's funny, though. Critics are like a little lukewarm on this show.
Like a lot lukewarm.
Were you surprised to see that?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I had to keep reading how much people hated it.
I know.
What are we hating exactly? What am I missing? Because I liked it.
It's like a quality show.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the ratings, their IMDb ratings, huge, 8 out of 10, which is hard to get.
Well,
so it's weird. It's mixed.
It's one of those shows where I think we're going to have division between audiences and critics, but I will be very excited to see what audiences think of this show. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a minute, but we have to rate the pilot first.
Okay.
I'm giving this bad boy a 4.1 out of 5.
I like that. I'm going to go 3.8. I think it's super solid writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.8.
Okay, that's pretty good scores from us.
I'm not sure if we mentioned this. It did come out yesterday, February 12th, TBS, so definitely check it out.
It's free to watch online right now.
Yeah, so, and let us know what you think.
I would love to hear what you guys think. And of course, you know we're the Conversation Network. You can always tweet at us, or we love it when you guys are in the comments. We got some nice comments for our Pen 15 coverage last week, so we'll hop in there and respond to you guys. But if you have a hot take on this show, comment below, and you know I'm opinionated. I'll tell you what I think of your comment. Or if you want to reach me on Twitter, you guys can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. Linda, how about you?
Guys, all over social media, Linda's so girly. Hit me up and I'll get back at you.
Linda, what else are you covering at the network right now?
I am on this only right now.
Great.
Which well, we is, get you I've been on hiatus for all of my other shows.
That and, happens.
Yeah.
Well, I'm covering The Bachelor. So if you guys, if you want to rock the high-low with me where we can talk about smart American humorism or we can talk about the most garbage reality television on TV, I'll do that for you. I'll be that guy.
Fun fact, I've never seen one episode of The Bachelor. It's not
so
one.
Good. It is so good. It's the best show on TV. And I'll defend that till my grave, to my grave, whatever. We need to go. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week here on TV Pilot Reviews.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.